Welcome to yet another version of Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scotto.
And I am Karma.
Hi, Karma.
Hi.
Bump up her mic. She needs to be heard.
I need to be heard.
There you are.
I feel like the new girl.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I have to say, of course, Ghostly Talk is broadcast live on Pioneer. That's pioneer.rolo.net on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We're also testing something this week. We're testing a telephone line. So anybody who goes to the website can see like the telephone line, if you can call long distance, and if you can call for free, like included in a cell package.
Yeah.
And if you've got unlimited nights and weekends, well, Sunday is a weekend.
Yeah.
So you can try.
The number's on the site, right?
Yeah, I put it up on the site. It's going to come down tonight because it's just a test. So this number, it's not ours permanently or anything like that. It's just a test. And
we'll give it a shot.
It'll be pretty cool.
If any of you have a cell phone out there and you have free nights and weekends and all that fun stuff in long distance, go ahead and try to dial it up and see if you can listen to the show via cell phone. We're just trying this out to see how it works. And Doug's been obsessed with this since he heard about it from All Talk Radio.
How does it work?
Well, you know what I did last night? Because, I have to say first, before we get into how that works, okay?
Uh-huh.
I have to say first of all, a good friend of ours, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Her grandmother passed away on Friday at 5:02 p.m.
She's been sick for a while, and it was finally time for her to go, apparently.
And she went peacefully with all of her loved ones around her.
Uh-huh.
So that, you know, out of all that, that was pretty comforting.
Yeah,
but
Bonnie's a very good friend of the show. Obviously, everybody knows who she is.
Yeah.
We wish, we wish all of our condolences from all four of us down here right now.
Absolutely.
Bonnie,
absolutely.
We love you.
We do. We love you, Bonnie. Hang tough.
She was doing fine last night at the restaurant watching us chow down.
Well, that's what we did. I called her up and
we have a phone call.
Oh, we do? All right. Let's see who's up.
Ghostly Talk, how can I help you?
Yes, I'm ready for some ghostly talk.
Are you ready? Are you ready for some ghostly talk?
Ready, Dougie.
Yeah. Hey, Shano. Proof negative, dude. What's up?
Hey, happy Hanukkah from Indiana, baby.
What's going on, Sean?
Hey, I heard there's a lot of fighting going on between Indiana fans and Detroit fans.
Hey, what about those Pacers, man?
Dude, yeah. Pacers rule.
Yeah.
Whole basketball team suspended. Way to go, Michigan.
Yeah, I never even thought about that.
My son's some pudding here. Here you go, son. Sit down.
I thought, okay.
Here with the world-renowned Ghostly Talk.
We just get back. We got back a couple weekends ago from an absolutely phenomenal eye-opening experience in Indiana.
That's right? Baby.
And then we did a Ghostly Talk, and then like later that week,
it was a brawl like that Friday.
Like, the Friday after that, and the Indiana Pacers were like beating each other up, and then that didn't even last long enough. It went into the
stand. There's no love. It takes ghost hunters to love each other.
I agree.
Well, we never. I got to see that.
Hey, I got to give hats off to the fans in Detroit, man. You gotta be involved with your team, you know.
Right.
And well, that's a lot of
wants to lay on the bench and act like a baby, then hey, you throw beer on him. But let me tell you something: for $20 million a year, throw anything you want on me.
Well, right. That's the problem right there, Sean. Because I did a journal entry on this just for a goof, and we talked about this and. I didn't see it live. I only heard about it the next day from my roommate, and he's like, "You gotta check it out." So I figured, well, got it. Okay, let's do a search on Google. I'm sure I'll find about 50 videos. So of course I did. So I downloaded the video and watched how everything transgressed as far as the situation goes.
Oh,
and, man. And I mean, I'm not much of a basketball fan in the first place.
Me either.
But I gotta say, I mean, my personal opinion on both sides was that it was ridiculous all the way around. I mean,
there's actually
three sides.
Why is it?
There's the two teams.
Nobody should have went up in the stands. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely not.
$20 a year, you could throw a cup of urine on somebody and think you could shake it off.
That side of it I do agree with you on, but I also think that the fans should know better.
There's the two teams and the fans. So
they should know better.
Pacer fan, guys. She's sitting here screaming at me in the background going, "The fans were wrong!"
Yeah, but
I agree with
when a fan throws something at a player, I mean, you don't he didn't know where it came from, so he just went up punching in the air, basically. For
I mean, you know, you guys can't do that, because when Michigan comes into town and they beat Notre Dame, usually, not this year, but usually, you know, I want to throw stuff and spit and stuff like that.
Right.
Everybody knows you can't, so, you know, you just live to play another day.
Yeah, the whole incident was incredibly wrong, and it was evidently a taste of things to come, because the next day or the day after, mm-hmm. A couple of, what were they, college football teams.
Yeah, they got a big rough.
Decided to beat each other up. They turned into a big wrestling match.
What was this?
Stu Holmes was right in the middle of it, his last game, and they was knocking him around like a rag doll. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, that whole situation with the Pacers and the Pistons, though, the video, from what I saw in the video, I saw innocent people being punched, which, you know, regardless, I mean, from what I understand, the guy that Artest, is that his name, Artest, went after?
Ron Artest, yeah.
Yeah, Ron Artest, the guy he went after didn't even do anything.
Right.
He just randomly picked somebody out and started beating the crap out of him.
I just started smacking upside the head, so that's uncalled for. I mean, the beer came out of that direction, but anyway, I seen that, and I thought about ghosts.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Kill each other for all I care. I just thought it was funny.
What's funny
was the kid. They showed a man with his kid there at the game.
They showed a couple
kids crying. They were crying. They were crying.
Now, we're sitting here paying, what, $60 a ticket to get nosebleed, and you got these idiots beating each other up? You know what I'm saying?
Here's my biggest gripe right here, Sean, is that the whole weekend after this, I listened to people all weekend going, man, you people in Detroit are crazy.
First of all. Love Rock City, baby.
First of all, the people in Detroit had nothing to do with that. The people in Detroit, like us, we live in Metro Detroit. We're too busy working our asses off right now to even afford a ticket like that.
Absolutely.
Okay? The people in Detroit had nothing to do with that. The people in Auburn Hills now, on the other hand,
right,
where the Palace is at, were responsible for that. Like I said in my little general thing, probably the person, I don't even know who this guy is, but probably, I don't know how he got his tickets, but I'm sure he got a hookup like everybody seems to get up for these stupid, stupid events.
No, you know what the killer is, man? I know we're out of basketball ESPN talk show here, but he has run our test the Monday after that brawl, okay?
Uh-huh.
He releases a new rap album.
Well, yeah, you know, yeah, and that's what
he's using
pretty funny.
That as a leverage, man. He's
obviously.
Yeah, some Detroit people, yeah, buy my record, you know.
Well, do we have to cite Janet Jackson also, like last year at the Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
The same exact thing happened.
Yeah,
you know,
gotta show your boobie on TV and you sell 20 records, you know.
There you go, and that may be why this whole thing happened, which I think myself is sick, because people were hurt. Some people are going to be very rich as a result of this, though, too.
I was just going to say, I was sitting there counting $20 million, $40
million,
yeah. $50 million.
Yeah, they pulled in Jeffrey Figer on Decay.
Oh, Figer's on this?
Figer's on Decay.
You sound like you nasty guys.
Figer is our local...
What's that beautiful voice there?
Oh, yeah. Sean.
I'm not the host.
Yeah. Sean, this is our co-host, Karma.
Hi,
Karma, this is Sean. What's happening?
Nothing.
Well, good to hear you back.
Oh, thank you.
Now, were you on a tour of L.A., was it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
No,
yeah?
I was in the
Getting back to where stuff's normal, right? Detroit?
I was in the middle of the desert.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's...
Smoking any peyote or what?
No, it kind of sucked. I got to look at marine guys all day long.
Oh, boy. Isn't that awful for you?
Sean, tell us everything that's going on in Indiana besides.
Well, guys,
the
I got to tell you, this weekend we got a, you know, the holidays. I'm married. I got a 3-year-old, and you know how it is when your wife's not involved in ghost hunting and you are. It's a constant battle to get to go out and play. So I had to miss the November meeting, but we're setting up a investigations training, which I told you in the show I did earlier that, you know, there is nobody that's a specialist in this field, but we do have a little way of setting things up, camera equipment. Doing a survey of the rooms with EMF meters, IR thermometers, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Someone is kind of teaching them about the equipment and stuff and some of the things that we found that works for us, EVP and whatnot. And you guys are invited, as always, you guys are invited to come out and stay at my house. I know you guys are probably busy, but this weekend we're going to actually go to a client's house. He lived there for 6 months in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And the activity got so bad, guys. So bad in 6 months, the gentleman moved out. Now, he paid cash for this house.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's an old 1800s farmhouse on the outside of Eagle County, Indiana. He lived there for about, 4 to 6 months. and he's seen a Civil War man walking through the front room while he was watching TV, and he said, you know, I could only shake it off for so long.
Right.
And he said he heard whispers and stuff at night. So he's a very real Catholic person. He loves the Catholic religion. He's been in it all his life, his mom and dad. So he had a priest come out. I don't know where he found him, but a priest came out and did an exorcism of the house.
Okay.
This is basically a blessing. And he went through each room, and he did blessings, and of course the preacher said, you know, I feel like there's some bad stuff here. And the guy was like, well, duh. You know, that's why I called you out. So I guess after the exorcism, the guy said stuff picked up 90%, just went crazy in the house.
Geez.
Things moving.
Evidently it wasn't a Catholic ghost.
Like that. And are you there?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a Catholic ghost then.
No, I don't think it was a Catholic ghost, but he said he's seen a woman in a Civil War.
Uh-oh.
We're going to go out here this next coming Saturday night, and we're spending the night, baby. We're taking the sleeping bags. We're taking the flashlights, and we're going to cook out and stay there all night long. So that's how we get down out here in Indiana, baby.
That's this weekend, right?
Yeah, it's this coming Saturday.
So is
this now I'm torn.
Let me check the calendar here. I'm looking at my wife's cat calendar. It'll be December the 4th.
December the 4th. I'm trying to think if there's anything going on this
weekend. We're going to go to the old tap room that's supposedly haunted by a man. Did I ever tell you guys the story about the tap room?
Is that what?
What was that, John?
Did I ever tell you guys the story about the tap room?
Well, I think we might have talked about it on the show. We had you on officially.
Let me tell you again.
Do it. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, the tap room was built in the early 1900s. Okay, this guy that owned it, he had this functioning underground bottling company that would brew and bottle beer, right?
Okay.
He made the famous Champagne Velvet. It's the only beer that's been created in Indiana.
Champagne Velvet.
Smooth.
Beer. That sounds good.
Champagne and beer, it's just great. And, you guys have to get a jug of it when you come out. Right? This cat, Alfonso Capone, Mr. Al, came out to his place and said, hey, man, you know, we're running right through here, and I dig the way you guys got this outfit going. So he said, I want to buy you out. And of course, the owner, you know, his family's had it for years. He said, you know what, man, I don't feel that I want to sell right now. So 2 weeks later the guy ends up gone, right, disappeared. Guess who the new owner is? Mr. Alfonso Capone.
Two plus two, quick. Jeez.
Yeah. And it's a convenience store. Upstairs and downstairs, they have underground tunnels that go all under Terre Haute, Indiana, where the actual brew was kept. Because back in the day, they didn't have ice and stuff like that, so they would keep the kegs underground to keep them cool.
Uh-huh.
And that's where all that stuff's stored. Well, the body, the story goes, the body of the man that used to own it is still buried under there. They've had several reports of a guy upstairs rocking in the rocking chair, the old man. We've been in there a couple times. One time we were doing an investigation training upstairs. That's what we're going to do next Saturday. And I had my motion sensors. You know, I just turned them on for giggles, and we had them all set up. And every one of them, six of them, went off at the same time, man. And they were facing a room that was totally empty.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I was talking about the activity and how these motion sensors work, and they all just went bloop, bloop, bloop. Everybody got a first-hand look of the old man upstairs. But we've had a lot of stuff happen up there, and they've been real helpful with letting us come in and do investigations and stuff and do training there. So it's really great. The guy actually renovated it, went inside some of the brick walls, and he found old dolls. Child's dolls inside the brick, men's leather pouches with gold, silver coins in it and stuff. So it's a really neat place.
Wow.
That sounds interesting.
And you're going there this weekend?
Yeah, I'm trying to set up the investigations training there, like it's 5 p.m. at night or something. And then once the sun goes down and we get our groove on, we're going to go ahead and migrate to the haunted house, baby, and set up for an all night.
Now I'm torn. I would absolutely love to head on down there and do that.
I'm just mentally going through what needs to be done this weekend.
I was thinking the issue was I was sort of planning on going and seeing Tone and Niche play.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Now I've got to go for the coin.
You guys get all buttered up and come down here and get even more buttered up. Hang out, because that's all it is. We're just having a big kind of get together thing, and we got the run of the mill of this guy's house. We know it is haunted. It is active. So you know, you get to hang out with some ghosts, man.
Well, that's sound. I'm sitting here thinking, like, okay, what do I need to get done this weekend? What's so important that needs to be done this weekend?
You know, I always got something up my sleeves here in the Hoosier State, so...
Well, I missed the last one, too, so I've been kicking myself ever since that. And I really want to get out there and hang out anyways, regardless. So, you know, I might have to, you know, if these guys duck out, I might have to do a road trip on my own.
Oh, I was reviewing the EVP tape, Doug, and I did find that EVP.
Okay.
At the Haunted Bridge.
Did you see the photos I put up on my album?
Those were great photos.
I had never gotten missed before.
Well, that was from last weekend, wasn't it?
My very I reviewed, well, I downloaded the image. I had downloaded the images from Indiana.
Right.
And then went out last weekend as well, and I got missed last weekend. But officially, when I reviewed the photos from Indiana, when I was, you know, reviewing all the photos from last weekend, I reviewed the whole bunch at once.
Yeah,
and I had gotten missed in Indiana, and
really?
I had never gotten an ectoplasmic mist before.
Well, I tell you guys, Indiana is crazy about ghostly talk, even the ghosts, man. So when you guys come out here, everything's more active, see?
Oh, okay.
You're hilarious.
I want to show you the Hoosier Ghost rock out just as much as Detroit Rock City, baby. So,
and they do. I mean, they were there. They're captured on my camera, and you just go to ghostlytalk.com pictures pages, take a look at what I got, and I'm so geeked about it because it's my first miss.
Yeah.
Now, my camera, I've had it for like 3 years.
Well, do you remember that old schoolhouse I took you guys, you and Will, past, Doug? Remember right here in Danville, the old school that used to be the teacher's college back?
Yep. You told us about that.
1864, a guy got shot right out front. He happened to be one of the schoolmasters. And they said that they think he haunts the place. Well, I was down at Kroger's the other night, and I was buying a case of beer, Amber Bach, Michelob. Hear out of that.
Now we're going to get a ton of bad.
And in there was talking to me. She said, you know, I used to go to middle school there, and she said she'd see me on proof positive. And she wants to start talking about ghosts and everything. And I said, well, we're kind of interested in getting inside the school. We've had a couple people call us on it. And she said, well, I got to tell you, one morning during homeroom, she said all the lights in the building went off, every one of them. And she said we were sitting there in homeroom, and the teacher was telling us about the ghost and stuff. And she said that the ghost is supposed to walk the halls, and people see him when he goes to the bathroom and stuff. And she said we were all sitting there, probably 16 kids and the teacher, and all these books just come flying off the shelf towards the kids. And then the lights come back on. So I guess they got some real activity down that way. So we got to get in there and check that out.
Yeah, that's physical phenomena.
Yeah.
That's
hardcore. You got books flying at your head. That's something.
Yeah, amazing. Definitely. Now, Sean, I've just been thinking, too. I'm listening to what you got to say, and I'm thinking, too, at the same time.
Uh-huh.
What my plan is, my rough plan right now may be, depending on what these guys are going to do, Friday night, I work till 6 or 6:30, I think.
Right.
And I'm thinking about just, like, packing everything in my car the night before and then, like, just shooting out of work into my car onto the freeway.
Come down, baby.
And possibly
until
coming
whenever
down.
You want to. So.
That would put me there probably, I mean, the way I drive, it would probably get me there by about 9 o'clock, so.
Guys, come on down, and like I said, it won't start till Saturday at, like, 5 p.m., and you guys, I'll tell you, you guys are going to have a blast. It's going to be all night.
It sounds very interesting. I might have to see the rest of the week.
We won't come dragging our butts home until probably 8, 9 in the morning. Guy's house, and it's like I said, it's supposed to be real active. I haven't been out there yet. The Bloomington, Indiana chapter. Doug, you met her, Shannon Simpson. She's the director out there.
I sure did.
They
awesome,
got called,
awesome people.
And they went out to do this investigation. And I guess the guy just busted into tears talking to him. He said, "You know what? I'm single. I live here. I'm a grown man. I don't believe in ghosts, but I can't sleep in my bed." And he said, "This is getting pathetic." He said, "Because there's people here in my house. I can't see them. I can't touch them. But I see them. I do see them. I just can't touch them or talk to them." And he said, "I'm moving. I can't." And, you know, we tried to talk him into it and said, "Hey, man, just kind of chill out for a while. Let's try to see what's going on." And, well, we actually think there is something evil, if you want to say, going on there. I would say negative. There's something negative there that doesn't want people in there. Because when there is people present, it seems to get active, throw things around, pinch, pull, grab women. Seems not to like women too well. So, I don't know, man.
Or maybe it likes them too much. Yeah. Maybe it likes them too much. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's what do you tell clients like that? I mean, you can't tell them, well, you need to stay and try to make peace with it. Well, when it's throwing stuff at your head, you really can't, you know, sit down and have a heart-to-heart.
No, you can't. No,
I mean, there's
And it's obviously, I mean, did he ever have any history of that happening before, or does it happen in his new place?
No, he doesn't believe in ghosts, Doug.
So he's not the the thing causing it.
Yeah, he's
a
Catholic person. He's been in and out of marriages, a couple marriages, and he just, you know, he believes in God, he believes in all that stuff and afterlife, but he doesn't believe in ghosts. And he said, hey, man, and he still wouldn't, and that's what kind of intrigues me. Because when we get these people to call us and say, look, I do not believe in the mumbo jumbo. I don't believe in ghosts, spirits, and demons and all that stuff, but this is what's happening. That's what turns me on.
That's really, really a good case.
Yeah, that is excellent, because that's a foundation. Usually you get people who say, you know what, well, my sink's dripping at night, and I think it's a ghost, so you need to come out and check it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes it might be some kind of paranormal activity, but when you get somebody that's saying, hey, there's just some weird stuff going on, I can't cope, I mean, that's well worth packing up the equipment and getting out there.
Well, very interesting. Shauno, we've got to go.
Yes.
Because we're going to be bringing on, we have to bring on Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
We'll be talking about their work at spirit-teachings.com. You, of course, are Sean Burris, your regional training director, right?
South Central Regional Director.
That's it, of the Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but I know if something goes wrong, I can't tell the crap for it. But, I'm a ghost hunter, baby, and I'm here in Indiana, and I'm a member of the Indiana Ghost Trackers, and you guys know you're my house, and you know where I live, so this weekend, call me, or this week, and let me know if you guys want to do that.
Cool, and anybody, and anyone who wants to know about what's going on with Indiana Ghost Trackers, of course, visit Indiana Ghosts. I think you're .org, right?
.org, www.indianaghost.org, and we were just on the Sci-Fi Channel, and I was Mr. Proof Negative, so.
Well, Sean, we might be shaking hands this weekend. I'm going to think about I'm going to see what's going on for the rest of the week here, and I'm going to see what these guys are doing also, and I might be finally coming down there to meet you finally.
So you guys have a bad show. Keep it up, and I'll be calling back soon.
Great.
Awesome.
Thanks,
awesome.
Sean. Take care of yourself, man.
Catch you later, Sean.
Be good, man.
Bye.
So, yeah, that
guy,
cool.
He just needs to start his own show, I'm telling you.
He's hilarious. I remember him now.
He's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's
hilarious. Absolutely, like, super energized, always on the go. He took me on the ghost trip, the ghost hunt that I went on, and I got my first miss. Now, on that same camera, Will had gotten a miss before, but
yeah.
I never operated the camera and got an ectoplasmic miss before.
Mm-hmm.
I put up the photos in in my gallery.
We're going to be talking about ectoplasm a little bit tonight, too.
That's one
thing we're going to be talking about, because, I mean, I've been doing a lot of reading lately, and I'm going to pimp these people one more time. We got a couple of seconds here before we have to go to break.
Right.
I'm going to pimp these guys some more, because Mark Macy's coming on the show in a couple weeks, actually, from World ITC, which is worlditc.com. Yeah, it's www.world, you know, all that fun stuff, worlditc.com.
It's linked up on GhostlyTalk.com.
Yeah, it's on the homepage right now. And there is a lot, this is with the SpiritCom. Now, this was, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, too, and this, Art Bell, Coast to Coast actually featured this on Halloween night.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been kind of like just reveling in all of their material on this site since I listened to that show. And these are the people that are they're not directly responsible. They hold all the documents and stuff on their website that you can actually download or print out or whatever, which I've printed everything out and I've read through it all extensively. And this is on the SpiritCom machine that supposedly was built in the early 70s with audio and everything for you to listen to up there with direct communication, you know, a conversation, they say, with spirits, with spirits, namely a gentleman named Dr. Mueller, who is a dead man who died mm-hmm. 8 years before that.
Who helped?
He told them, here is my social security number. Here's where my wife lives. Here's every piece. Here's some more proof for you. He gave it like 8 different pieces of documentation for these people to look up, and everything checked out. Precisely.
Now, that sounds like EVP app.
Well,
EVP to the extreme.
Well,
man.
One of the things they talked about, we got a couple seconds here.
I know, but there's a couple things that
okay,
I have
go
to
ahead.
Do, so.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, I wanted to remind everybody that next week, of course, is Lauren Coleman.
Yeah.
That is the cryptozoologist.
Yeah, that's going to be.
And
wow.
I personally am like totally absolutely geeked about that because Lauren Coleman is I guess, an idol of mine because all the work he does in cryptozoology. And I also want to give a shout-out to everybody in the chat rooms. Mm-hmm. If you're not already in the chat rooms, you can join them by going to www.ghostlytalk.com, if you're a member, or go to pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net, and click on the text chat link.
Yeah.
Of course, Devin's in there. Hey, Devin. Misty from Indiana. Mm-hmm. I met her. P13 and Space Monk. Space Monk's in there, and I tried to say hi earlier, but he fell out, and then since then I just haven't been back to the chat rooms. But and of course, Phobos is in there watching over the whole show.
Yeah,
hi Phobos.
Yeah, he's watching over the whole show, making sure that we're like doing our jobs. So I wanted to say that.
Doing our jobs.
Yeah. he's corporate.
Well,
right?
We're going on break right now. We are entitled to a break every half an hour. So.
Right, that's what I heard.
Yeah, so sorry, Jeff, that's the way it's going to
be.
Yeah,
I have a memo that says that.
I mean,
well, he wants us to, but we don't.
So yeah, we get paid breaks.
And I also wanted to say, there's a show that I don't know very much about. I've never heard of it, and evidently it's back on the air.
Okay.
There's another show, and it's a different kind of show because it's in Pal Talk. Pal Talk, or something like that.
Is that some new language or something?
So
to learn Klingon now to understand this show?
It's some kind of thing you can go into, like, basically this, it's a chat room, kind. It's a software that you download.
Yeah.
It's some kind of chat room.
This is on Pioneer?
No, it's not on Pioneer. It's completely separate from them. A couple out of New Jersey had created this show, and then it went on hiatus, and now it's back. So I was going to try and drum up interest. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a link. I'm going to put information that I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put all that on the Ghostly Talk homepage.
All right.
So that people can link up to that. So it's a new show. It's on Thursday nights from 8 p.m. till 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Only it seems like you participate.
Because
it's like a big voice chat room. You need a microphone and speakers, you know, or a headset or something for your computer. You plug it all in and load up this Pal Talk software, and you can join in. And the show is basically a whole bunch of ghost talkers talking to each other.
That might be chaotic.
Yes, we have to go to break now.
Yeah, we have to go.
So, you guys, we'll be back after this break with Mick and Sylvie Avery of spirit-teaching.com.
.com?
Yep, I think so.
All right, then. We'll be right back.
Take the call.
My name's Sean Burke from the Indiana Ghost Trackers, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Listen to W Paranormal Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit wparanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Terry at www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey, guys. What's up? Good times, good times.
Yeah, I remember her saying, I'm already dead. 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 I'm already dead.
Well, to me, I want you to reach the stand up and hold your hands in some stupid symbol.
I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and scream. You're going to get up and burn an X in your head.
I killed my mic for some reason.
I know. And then, and then you're like, all right, we're... And
big intro.
You weren't on the air.
Drop the ball.
Yeah, you weren't on the air.
Drop the ball again.
You guys, believe it or not, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
Hi, Karma.
I'm losing
Hi.
My voice again. Jeez.
Oh, me. No. Well, I hope you've got enough voice because yeah. these guests are absolutely amazing that we've got coming up for you.
Uh-huh.
And so, Scott L., if you get a chance, let's talk about them briefly. To bring them on the show.
Okay.
Cool.
I'm supposed to do that?
Well, you've got the paper.
I have the stuff
you.
On ectoplasm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, so I thought you had that taken care of. Yeah. What's up, man?
I have no notes this show. So, but what I do know, okay. I've been talking with them via...
You have no notes this show.
Okay, no notes any show. I've been talking with Mick and Sylvie Avery via email for the past, good month and a half or so.
Uh-huh.
And Mick and Sylvie Avery are from England, and they are here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
occasionally. And when I started talking with them, they were in, like, Denver, Colorado, and then now all of a sudden they're in Las Vegas. So they're like, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're spreading, knowledge that they have through their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Their gifts of, being able to channel folks, from the other side,
mm-hmm.
and teach people. And so it makes sense that their website is spirit-teaching,
mm-hmm.
and .com or .org, probably .com.
Yeah.
Spirit-teaching.com. It's linked up on ghostlytalk.com. And
so, we screw up URLs left and right here. That's why we put it all on the site for you guys to just go
right,
and click on.
Right. We figure it out once, put it on the site, and then we just say, go to ghostlytalk.com.
Yep.
But basically, Spirit-teaching. So what they're doing is they're enlightening anybody who wants to
and they're touring
to learn
right
their
now.
Stuff, and they're going around all over the place. They'll even be back next year. So without further ado, I want to say welcome to Ghostly Talk, Mick. Welcome to Ghostly Talk, Sylvie.
Hi, guys.
There you guys
there
are.
There you guys
cool,
are.
Cool.
We
hey,
found you.
Here.
So tell us what. Tell us everything about yourselves in a quick minute. No, I'm only kidding. So,
how long have you gone?
Yeah, see, so you guys, you're right now. You're in Las Vegas. I know you went to the convention, or is that ongoing now? That was when was
no, that was last week.
That was last week, the convention. So I know you were there. So so you guys have been like really getting out there. Tell us about what you do.
Yes. Basically, what we do is we try to bring truthful, factual information about the spirit world to kind of address fear that people have. It's kind of like people have a lot of misconceptions about the spirit world and what's going to happen to them when they die, you know? And what we're trying to do is put it straight, without religion, without any bias, one way or another, just factual evidence.
Okay.
Well, that's what we're after, actually, because we are, as you know, ghost hunters. So we go out and about. We look for proof of the afterlife. And from what I understand, you're in contact with the afterlife, so you've already got the proof.
Yes,
that's right. And the spirit team that we represent, we're just the spokespeople, the instruments for the spirit team that we've made ourselves available for. And basically, they are bringing education. They want to share the knowledge about the spirit world. And this and anything else that anybody wants to address about the fears in their lives concerning death.
You know, and that's something I've learned actually in the last couple of weeks. I've been kind of laid up sick, so I've been doing a lot of reading. And a lot of the material I've been going over as far as the spirit world, let's just say, we'll call it the spirit world right now.
These,
The occupants on that side, let's say, they're excited. They want to communicate with this side, our physical realm, let's say. It's something I knew that I've actually heard. You know, I've never really heard any opinions or any emotion coming from that side. But the more I read, the more, well, more from mediums such as yourselves, where they say these people really want to communicate on this side and tell people what it's about and give them an idea and prepare them for this when they do, when it's time for any of us sitting down here, for example, to actually go to that side of existence. And these people are excited. They want to know. They want to let everybody know what's going on. And you guys are basically, you, like you said, you are the middlemen, so to say, to get that information out to people.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And also, the spirit world wants us to look after our planet as well, because they need our planet for people like us that want to journey on it, you know? So they're helping us to bring enlightenment about the truth about why we're here, you know? It makes sense that everybody, I mean, you wouldn't go on holiday without finding out about where you were going first, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's a great point right there. I mean,
yes.
I mean, I'd hate to go some. I'm going to go on vacation, but I have no idea about where I'm going whatsoever.
Well, there's actually vacation packages you can buy like that if you're a true adventurer.
But, you're blind, isn't it?
But for the most part, yeah. I want to know where I'm going, what's going to happen, how's it, what's it going to be like.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how do you know what to pack? So yeah, you guys, how was the convention? You went to this big convention. Was this the first year for this convention, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rather quiet, actually, because there was it turned from a five-day convention into a two-day convention, and there was a lot of confusion about whether it was still on at the last minute. But the people that went had a good time.
And did you get a lot of people coming up to you and talking to you and wondering what you're doing? And did you get to intermingle with a lot of the folks, you know, either attending the convention or who were at the convention as exhibitors? Did, like, what was the overall thing?
Yeah, the percentage of people that turned up and wanted to speak with us was really quite high. And the other exhibitors as well, we made some real good friends, you know, with some real lovely people that we met.
That's excellent. That's excellent, because I know this is, they were,
we were invited out there.
We were invited. Yeah, we were invited to the convention, but unfortunately we couldn't go. But the, it was, I know that it was all very, they tried to plan it as well as they could, but they had planned it and then they unplanned it. And then they planned it again, so there was a lot of duplicity going on there. But I really, really, really hope that the Las Vegas convention turns into something, you know, rather wondrous in the future. So for a first start, it sounds like they got some people there, they got some good exhibitors, and they got exhibitors talking to other exhibitors, and they've, so I mean, as and of course the feedback from this year is only going to improve 10 times the, you know, next year's convention. That's my hope, because I would love to have a superior paranormal convention like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely, it's needed, I think.
Well, yeah, there should be something. I mean, there's all kinds of events that go on, and we hear about all of them, thank goodness, now because of the show and stuff like that. But there, I would really like to see like one central annual convention. Convention.
Right. I mean,
where everybody can get together.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of good ones. There's the one that Seattle took, you know, A Ghost puts on. There's of course the huge one in the Metaphysical Convention. I think it is in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Every year, but to have one in Las Vegas, because for me to fly to Seattle is expensive.
Yeah.
But for me to fly to Las Vegas is dirt cheap.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they run all those packages. So that's why Las Vegas is like a totally awesome place, I think.
And they think we're going to go there to gamble.
We're all ghost hunting.
Really depend, though, on you know, how well they put something together, really, you know, and how positive the focus is going to be coming from the actual, I don't know, whether you'd call it a council or whatever, you know, that runs the city.
Uh-huh.
Well, Las Vegas. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that isn't that where Charles Tart is from? That's where he worked for the longest time. He worked at you know, the university there in Las Vegas, UNLV.
Yeah.
I believe. I might be wrong, but I think that Charles Tart worked there for the longest time, and it was a university-funded program for investigating, you know, not specifically the afterlife, but he was very involved in out-of-body experiences and you know, basic, right... raising yourself spiritually, you know. So I think that, you know, spiritual awareness and of course, a lot of tests and scientific stuff, you know, he really worked hard. And he was right there, unless I have him confused with someone else. I thought it was Charles Tart, an amazing guy who was there at the university, you know, with a funded program up until about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think that Las Vegas has the... you know, the undercurrents of the right place for that, at least the people in power up until 2 years ago.
Well, of any place on the planet that you would need to be spiritual, if you ask me, would need to be Las Vegas, because you see so many people going, because they basically just, you know, they just put a second lien on their house to try to make that one big bet. I know a lot of people get very spiritual very quick in a situation like that.
Yeah, oh, God, but you want my money back.
Yeah, so it is kind of actually ironic.
That it would be in a place like
there,
Las Vegas.
Yeah, if there could be a metaphysical, a spiritual convention, right, a paranormal convention... in Sin City.
Well, yeah.
Right? I mean, that would be, like, the utmost in irony, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I suppose that's part of the attraction, isn't it?
I think so.
Hey, Nick and Sylvia, I had a question for you. What kind of information or confirmation have you received, if any, from the afterworld about the transition after you die? Because you hear all the time about people that had near-death experiences, saying that they went through a tunnel or seen a light. What kind of confirmation have you received?
Yes. Yes, there have been all kinds of confirmations from not just from the spirit team, but also from as part of the deep trance motor, if you like, the mechanics of deep trance. Basically what they do is they actually take my spirit and consciousness and everything and just take it off somewhere else. So I'm not aware of anything at all. You know, you're just really basically they're just left with the husk, the husk of my former self. You know.
Yeah.
And then the spirit people take over, and they literally take over everything, breathing, everything.
Well, I think maybe what Karma was maybe alluding to also was that, you know, had they described the experience possibly,
exactly.
like what the actual experience of dying and crossing over, have you ever had
absolutely.
Any...
Absolutely, but the point is, though, is that it can be different for different people.
Okay,
right?
All right.
Because also it's going to depend upon what is in the consciousness of the individual who's going through it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
you know?
The actual physical act is the same for everybody.
Exactly.
But what happens afterwards is different for everybody.
Because it will depend upon the person's walk, you know, on what they did in their physical life, you know what I mean?
That
like whether they were negative, whether they did harm to other people or animals or some such thing as that, you know?
And some people do see a tunnel of light, but not everybody.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like that's the idea we get from lots of people. Well, I saw this beautiful light, and I drooled all over the place, and there was this beautiful light, and it was wonderful. But you guys are basically saying that it's not the same for everyone. It just depends on the kind of person you are.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
but
right.
The actual physical experience is the same. The mechanics of the actual process
okay.
is the same. For everybody, no matter how they die.
Well, you said something you guys said that was interesting. I mean, if you did lead a negative life, and negative is a huge broad term, but let's say you did spend the majority of your time kicking cats all over the place or whatever, or doing negative things to humans or animals. I mean, have you guys ever received any information from someone saying, okay, this is what I did when I was alive on, you know, the physical realm, the physical plane, and I was pretty bad to people. I didn't lead a very good life. Did they describe kind of you what they went through themselves?
Yep. what happens is, because we don't actually do clairvoyance or readings or anything like that, so the information that we get, the people that speak to us, uh-huh. are our spirit team. They describe to us and to anybody who comes to our seminars, uh-huh. Situations like that, and they will explain to you what happens, what these people would have to go through.
Yeah.
You know?
So so basically the spirit team that you work with, or that are using you to work with you guys, they're the teachers.
They're the teachers. I mean, in that situation that you just talked about, if we do what we call a rescue situation, where we rescue a trapped spirit who is a negative trapped spirit, then at that stage maybe they will speak through mixed body to me and explain to me what they were like in their previous life, and it's a sort of a healing. It's like basically by talking to me and me, it's like a counsellor. Well, what do you call it? You don't call it counselling, do you, when you go and have therapy? It's like a therapy.
Yeah, it's your vetting.
You know? So we talk, and because they don't want to leave the earth plane, because they are frightened to go and confront their punishment, as it were, as they see it, then it's better maybe for the spirit team to bring them to somebody like me to speak to them and try and cajole them and explain to them the error of their ways in a nice way, and that there is a light and a way that they can make amends, you know. Although it won't be easy, you know, for people. It's not an easy ride.
Well, the one thing I've been studying is these different planes of existence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one thing I've been doing a lot of reading on, and you know, the idea that I've been getting is that every plane of existence, you know, you're going to do well or you're going to do bad. I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if there's an actual grading scale out there for this particular thing, but there, for each, like, the physical plane right now, you know, you can do things whatever way you want to do them. We do, as humans, I believe, have this freedom of choice. We do have free will, and it's up to us to make the best of it whatever way we have to, because every situation for every person on this planet is different, obviously, their environment, their surroundings, the people that they're around. But it seems like every level, what I've been reading from people, especially, and I hate to pimp them again, but World ITC, a lot of things that we're talking about right now are tied in directly with this. The same terminology, same everything. And it is these different levels of existence where you do learn, and it's up to you to make the best of it, obviously, be the best person you can. You guys say, though, the thing that confuses me, though, is you guys say that this is a completely objective approach you guys are using, but we still have these things, like the term punishment did come up a couple seconds ago, where, okay, let's say you weren't a very good person, you know, we'll use me, maybe I punched Doug in the face a few too many times during the show, like we usually do around here, and I was frowned upon for that. And when I do leave this plane of existence, I'm going to have to face this crossing over, which is different for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to face a negative consequence for that. So, and that is a form of punishment. I'm trying to stay away from the whole religious side of that.
Yes, absolutely.
I've read the Bible, and there's different versions of the Bible. There's all types of different ideas concerning that, too. But there is, negative reinforcement. If you do this, which you're not supposed to do, you will be punished. You know, the classic view is, you're going to burn in hell. You're going to burn in hell if you do that.
Yeah.
Some things, though, that you might have worked through during your lifetime that has made amends for these situations, you know, that you've realized that what you did was wrong.
Yeah, okay.
Situation. So, therefore, it doesn't really come into play that much, because you've already paid for it, because you've realised it and recognised it.
Yeah, you've already dealt with it.
And you might have to, if people will still have to make recompense and to the people that are affected,
mm-hmm.
other people that are affected.
Yeah, like their ancestors, you know, the ancestors of the people, perhaps, say, you know, if you had taken physical life or something like that, you have to make recompense to the ancestors involved in that.
Okay, so these different levels we're kind of talking about, roughly, are they, there is some type of interrelation between them, and I mean, your soul, the spiritual body that goes through these different levels, each level, they're kind of interrelated, am I correct?
Yes, it's just, I suppose, kind of, we're very, very wary, you see, of saying that the spirit world exists on levels, on particular levels. Because it's basically directly to the individual as to how or what they've attained in their physical life and how they make amends for it in their spirit life.
Okay.
And as Sylvie said, it doesn't mean to say that they cannot make amends for it in physical life too, you know? Because really, basically, the sooner that we start making amends for what we've done, what we know to have been wrong, and try to, kind of sweep it under the carpet or whatever, then that's going to be better for us. It's not, however, for us to sort of say egotistically that we have done this or done that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking, too, is if you've made amends, let's say I have taken life. I've never taken life from anybody myself, but let's say I have. And I go to these ancestors, like you say, and maybe I know this already. Like, okay, I got to say I'm sorry. I got to say I'm sorry about this.
Not genuine.
Is it? Yeah, I mean, is there... There has to be... It has to be in your heart, I guess. You have to... genuinely feel like, okay, I made a major mistake here. This was stupid. I shouldn't have done this. I need to face up to this in my physical life.
Yes. So what would happen then would be that in the spirit world, perhaps you would be presented a task whereby you would have to help other people in similar situations. Once you had understood the actual depth of seriousness of your action, your mm-hmm. negative action to someone else, you would then have to maybe help other people in a similar way who are also crossing over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you see what I mean?
Well, two things.
That's kind of like a healing process, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, you're gonna love this, Doug. You're gonna love this.
Okay.
This is an actual great example, and this is something that's also tied into that. Suicide is another interesting way of looking at this, and I'll cite an example. A couple of years ago, I saw the big S, Sylvia Brown, on TV, and she actually channeled Kurt Cobain from Nirvana. I'm sure you guys know who Kurt Cobain is from Nirvana. Okay, all right. Well, Kurt Cobain is very popular in the States, okay? He's a big rock star. He actually committed suicide. He killed himself over 10 years ago. Sylvia Brown channeled him and said that he told her what he was going through and where he was at. He was in more of a how would you say, more of a university setting. He was in a school setting.
Halls of learning.
Yeah. And he was, and what his job was now, right now, was to teach people the error of his ways.
Yeah.
He made a mistake, it's exactly what you guys are talking about, that, you know, you are going to possibly be put forth a task when you get there, like, okay, look, this is what you made a mistake on, this is what you were wrong on, and you're going, now that you know this, you need to help other people, this is your job now. And that's exactly what Sylvia Brown was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people feel they live with so much regret that they die and they pass and they can't make recompense for things that they've done on the earth, you know, and they feel really guilty about it. So it's a way of a healing process for that person as well, to be helping other people.
And so what are your books about then? Because I know you guys wrote books and you're going to go on a book tour next year. Is that the kinds of things that we've been asking? Is that like what's in there or what's in the books?
Yes, we have four books. We have three coming out next year. The first one is The Spirit Within, which is explaining about that we are all spirit and explaining how we can connect with our spirit to enhance our life in many ways, you know, and it does briefly cover things like what happens when you die and the difference between the soul and the spirit. Are you still there?
Oh, yes. Oh, we're listening on the edges of our chair.
Because my light went out and flashing on the phone. Yes,
oh, no.
What's the difference between the soul and the spirit and all that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
After that is Spirit Walks with Gregory, which carries on from there, and it goes on a little bit more in depth, and it talks more about everyday things that affect people and how this connects with your spirit. It does lightly cover poltergeists and ghosts and things like that.
Yeah.
And I was saying about the Soul Group.
Yeah, and then the third book is The Soul Group, It's Meaning, Magic, and Imagery, and that is basically an anthology about the spirit world, how it's made up. It describes about the actual makeup of the soul group, because we're all from different soul groups. This is the point, that we're not just a product of our environment. We're actually our spirit is actually defined as being characteristically different in different groups. Okay, kind of like, you know, like we've got species on our planet, and they all come from different soul groups. Dogs, perhaps you've got like the family of dog and all of that. They're from one specific soul group. Okay, so this book anyway basically explains how these divisions are made. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In relation, so they bring about information to do with spirit in relation to physical beings, no matter what they are. So it could be ants, dogs, dolphins, human beings.
It's more of a scientific as well. It's about our evolution on this planet as well, and how it all connects.
And that's one of the three that's coming out next year?
The third book, yeah.
The third book?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, actually. It's available on Amazon and...
Oh, I want it. Well, it's going on my Christmas list then.
Why don't we take a quick break? Okay. Just we're going to take a really short break.
Yeah, we're going to take the shortest break we have in the list. Because I am absolutely fascinated, Mick and Sylvie.
There's
I
just
am
so much to try
so
to cover.
So fascinated. But yeah, we do have to take a quick break. And you're going to be on the phone still with us, because I want to ask you some questions too. And we'll be back at the other side of the break with Mick and Sylvie Avery of spirit-teaching.com.
Yes. So hang tight. There's a lot coming up here.
A lot.
Hang tight.